Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello everyone, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler. You're listening to episode 31, and I needed a little help this week. I'm feeling not as strong as I am usually feeling.
Oh,
in
no.
this host seat.
Are you all right?
I just need a little boost, a little outside energy.
You could call on the planets and, you know, the nature around you.
Tried calling upon the trees, and they don't have microphones.
Yet.
Yeah, it's my electoral promise.
a microphone for every tree.
Mm-hmm. I call upon Jason to lend me his power.
Yeah?
You good?
You got
it to spare?
I've been charging it up. I got a lot of crystals and jars here. I could probably spare something.
I call upon Aaron.
Hey, I got you.
You got it? All right.
I've lit you some candles.
I call upon Melissa.
I'm here. I sparkle in your general direction.
And I call upon Dave.
Well, it's a little short notice. But,
is this the part of the anime where you tearfully like clench your fist and think about your nakama who are like behind you?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, they're the translucent images of all four of us appearing.
Yeah,
it's translucent images of all of you in stock smiling poses, just sort of disappearing into the background.
That's how it works.
Very cheaply done. Very cheaply done.
And you're all saying your cool catchphrases like.
The Japanese title roughly translates to...
And fanfiction prompt number...
Aaron, do you have a catchphrase?
I don't know.
My catchphrase is, the dialogue makes more sense in Japanese.
Well, Aaron's value to the podcast...
I guess my dialogue is just, whoa.
Yeah, well, I mean, Aaron's
amazed sound.
Aaron's value to the podcast... cannot be quantified in something as simple and
something as kitschy
and base as a catchphrase.
Oh shucks.
They need to be several catchphrases strung together into show tune lyrics.
Oh.
Yeah, Aaron just sings a full song before he fades away.
Your confidence inspires me to fight on.
This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. Hopefully you've heard it before. This is episode 31.
Are you starting on episode 31?
That's
good
crazy.
I would actually love to know. Yeah, I would love to know what would actually be like.
Welcome. If you're starting on episode 31, we welcome and support you.
We do. Mm-hmm.
I do have a small, tiny judgment that I'm not willing to give up on. Because if they saw the numbers of the episodes we're covering this week, and they're like, those were my favorites, I would question starting on this one.
I mean, there is Vegeta... without gloves on.
There's a lot of these.
Nor anything else.
Yeah, that's one way to describe the way we see Vegeta in these episodes.
Oh my god. There's a lot to unpack here.
Every week on this show, we cover three episodes of Dragon Ball Z. Typically, we're covering the Funimation dub, but we do occasionally check in on the Japanese side to see what's different and how it may or may not be better. This week we'll be covering episodes 91, 92, and 93, but before we do that, the majority of the hosts this week are folks who have not watched the series before.
We've got you outnumbered.
Exactly. This is all brand new stuff to three of you, so
that's
I wanted
true.
To check in with you all and see how you're feeling about the show and if you have any questions up until this point.
I'm so scared.
I thought there'd be more Super Saiyans.
Yeah.
There have been.
There's a lot
to
of talk.
According to Vegeta, there have been like 10.
I think he's an unreliable narrator.
Nah.
Also, the narrator is an unreliable narrator.
Yes. I mean, Gohan doesn't remember that much as a kid.
Vegeta just has a blurry photo of a Super Saiyan that he's been trying to follow.
Super Saiyan is actually a cryptid on Planet Vegeta.
just a
he was super into when he was little.
Blonde Sasquatch.
If it weren't for Frieza, Vegeta would just like have a TV show where he's hunting Bigfoot.
That's Frieza's true crime.
Super Saiyan.
And it's so much harder because the Saiyans turn into monkeys sometimes. It's like, is that a Bigfoot?
False
no,
alarm.
It's Jeff.
It's yeah. The mighty Uzaru.
Yeah, it's like, you know, 42-3-year-old Vegeta with a 5 o'clock shadow constantly taking phone calls and opening letters. It's like, another goddamn great ape sighting. Don't you people know what they look like by now? And then he blows up the wall to his shack.
I am the prince of all conspiracy theorists.
Fan fiction premise.
I have a question for the three of you.
2012.
If you, Aaron, Melissa, and Dave were not watching this to keep up with and participate in a podcast, would you have quit by now?
I might have skipped forward a little bit.
No, I don't.
Can't blame you.
I don't think I would have, no.
You'd stick with it to the end?
It's one of those things where it's like, whenever something is a really big deal, whether it's good or not, I always want to see it because I want to know about, like, the, you know, what the fuss is about. Like, what has it influenced, so on.
You want to try and find out why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's both way, way worse and way, way better than I could have ever expected. So I'm very pleased to be watching it.
I think I would have gotten further because, like, when I was first falling in love with it, I really, really, really wanted to keep watching episodes, but I'd stop myself after three for the podcast. But I don't think I would have given up, but I would have gotten distracted and forgotten about it by now. Just because that's what I do with everything.
Yeah, a lot of the anime that I've watched, I'm no stranger to filler episodes.
Sure.
I just don't necessarily have the patience for them that I used to. We've got so many good, just like 12 episode in and out animes
right
these days.
Just get their point across and move on.
Yeah. I do appreciate a good character development in episodes, which are often seen as filler. But I think I've got most of the characters down pretty good right now.
As they stand?
Yes. As they literally stand watching the same action for three episodes.
Yeah, there's not a lot of the arc has kind of hit the top of the roller coaster.
Yeah.
And then it got stuck,
It
seems like, for a lot of these characters.
Just hanging out.
Observing.
But I am still enjoying it. And I'm glad that I have this to remind me to keep watching it, because I do enjoy it every week.
Though, it's funny, like, I feel like I would keep watching it, but I would also probably, like, keep taking notes. Because that's even if it wasn't directly connected to episodes of the podcast, because that's a big part of why it's fun. Kind of pithily MST3King it to myself as we go, and getting to use that stuff on here later is also very fun. But, like, just, like, going back to the beginning of my document and, like, reading all of my notes with no context is really entertaining.
It's a damn ride.
That's what I'm looking forward to at the end, is just reading this fucking document back to myself from the first episode. As of this week, I've hit 69 pages.
Oh,
nice.
You can self-publish that on Amazon when you're done.
Probably.
Word has quit taking down spelling errors.
Yeah.
It said that the document was too big, so it's just not going to tell me anymore.
That's when you know you're a real boy.
For me, it feels like this is, it's like opening up a shoebox full of all my old Bionicles. Like, it's a lot of forgetting and remembering. Like, I definitely watched this show as a kid, and I'm coming back to these old landmarks, and I'm like, oh yeah, this happened here. Oh, that was a great part. But then there's so much that's just completely blank, and I'm excited to, like, rediscover. Like, I don't remember any of this bullshit.
It is really fun. It's kind of like doing an archaeological dig and, like, finding missing links, because this is inspired so much in, like, other stuff that I've seen, that seeing this especially since recently starting to watch My Hero Academia, it's
yeah, it's that's
this is inspired by that. That's Steven Universe.
Yeah, that's honestly my favorite part of it. The like scholarly like Gordy said it in the first episode. Without the dynamics in this show, anime would not exist, and he's right. Like where you watch, you know, Hunter x Hunter, and it's like, okay, well, what if you wrote an anime where everything that's true in the universe of Dragon Ball Z was played completely straight? And you actually answered every single question that we ask on this show. And that's what Hunter x Hunter is about. And it's horrifying, and it's great! And that's super interesting to me, and I love it.
Without no Kaioken, there would be no Smash.
Aww, yeah, see, I get that now!
I was gonna ask, I forget where Chi-Chi and them are at this point.
Still trying to get to space.
Yeah, okay. Capsule 3, like, fucking clunked out, didn't it?
Yeah.
Sabotaged at every turn.
By that dastardly Ox King.
Whose first name apparently is Ox.
Right.
Ox King stole the Ox Cord.
I forgot to bring that up last time, but Roshi does just refer to him as Ox.
That is weird. It's a little odd.
Yeah.
Maybe King is his last name?
Chi-Chi King.
Chi-Chi King.
San Chi-Chi Nay King.
Please welcome to the stage.
Well, how about we talk about the episodes for this week?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I'd love to.
As stated before, we are covering episodes 91, 92, and 93. 91, the English title is Embodiment of Fire.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Showdown, the Embodiment of Flame in a 20 times Kaioken Kamehameha. I think they just wrote down the whole premise there.
Yeah.
Yes. Skipped right to the meat of the episode there.
You know, Japanese titles, they don't fuck around these days. Who's dying? We'll tell ya.
Don't worry.
Who lives? Who dies?
I mean,
who tells the story?
I mean, who even has time to watch anime
The titles
anymore?
Do. Mm. Yeah.
So things are not going well for Goku in this fight anymore. Because Frieza powered up to 50%, I guess.
Sure.
Still unclear on the math.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are they, don't worry.
And so this is a weird situation because we have seemingly done the thing in cartoons where a subsequent episode travels back in time to before the last event of the last episode.
Yeah.
With this Bulma and Chi-Chi's, or this Bulma or Ginyu and Bulma's body thing. Somebody's in somebody's body. Yeah, and everybody's ignoring her again, so it seems like they don't know. But then Gohan puts together the pieces of, like, oh, Ginyu got into that frog body, and he's like, oh, that must be Bulma. So I guess they did kind of know, and just decided not to deal with it.
Hey, well, you can see the gear, you can hear the gears turning inside Krillin and Gohan's heads as they figure this out. This is the hardest either of them have ever thought about anything in their lives.
It's real rough.
Krillin's normally smarter than this, I feel like.
I mean, ever since Goku showed up, he's on vacation.
Yeah, kind of.
He's checked out.
This is Krillin time.
Yeah.
I love Bulma's pathetic ribbits, and I love Bulma's angry ribbits.
Yeah. One of my first notes here is just... I miss Vegeta already.
Oh. Me too.
Don't worry, you'll see him soon.
Bulma, Ginyu Bulma gets upset that the body is so weak that he's in. And so I was thinking, whose power level is higher, Frog or Bulma?
Are you asking if it was a downgrade?
Yeah.
And he just gets the ability to speak.
She later demonstrates the ability to physically restrain the frog, so...
That is true.
Yeah,
that's
a minor upgrade. Hey, when he tries to beat up Krillin in Bulma's with Bulma's body, he pants, and the noises are very funny. He's just like, ugh.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I love...
It's 11.
I wrote in my notes, he says, there's no way I'm gonna beat him with this body. And I just wrote in all caps, excuse you.
Oh no.
Frustrated with the body that he's in, Ginyu tries to switch bodies with Piccolo, because he decides he looks strong.
And
Piccolo
and answers
does not know what's happening.
And answers one of my questions, which is that apparently the technique paralyzes the target as he uses it.
Yeah,
I guess
that makes a lot of sense.
It
I mean,
does. I'm gonna go with it.
Melissa, do you have confirmation of that on the Japanese side?
Yes.
Did you check
on
that?
Yes, that is true.
Okay. I wasn't sure, and I forgot to check.
Yes, episode 91 actually has a pretty faithful translation.
Oh, nice. They got bored of writing fake languages last time.
Yeah.
God.
Oh.
Does Piccolo know who Bulma is?
I mean, he has seen her before.
Yeah, I'm figuring he's seen her before. Like, she's just one of those people that hangs out around Goku. Mm-hmm.
Right. He might not know her name yet.
Well, I thought myself.
When she shows up and starts Ginyu laughing, he just yells and asks, "Who are you?"
Well, I found myself asking that question several times in this series of episodes. Do they even know who that person is?
It's just like one of those things where, like, your friend meets your other friend, and then you've been hanging out so long, and you realize you never introduced them, and then it's awkward.
Mm-hmm. Very
so
awkward.
So you just kind of sit there and go with it.
All right, I guess this weird person is in our group now.
I guess this is my life now.
Gohan saves the day, though.
He
yeah, Gohan.
Remembers and effectively executes the only good idea his dad has ever had.
he uses the perfect cast that he learned from his dad.
The Piccolo responds, "What just happened, Gohan?" And Gohan just laughs.
So Bulma is now back to her old self.
Much better at hopping as a human than a frog.
Mm-hmm. She smacks Krillin on the head, and I loved it.
It was very good.
Yeah. It's a good little loop.
And Krillin's response was good too. "I'm really happy for you, Bulma." "But this place isn't safe for a girl," and then she immediately gets blown away.
Yes,
no one goes to save her. We're done with this subplot.
Very quickly blown away by a Frieza shockwave, and just as quickly forgotten.
I guess they just figure she's probably safer wherever she lands.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's the writers doing her a favor, frankly.
Whoever was handling the filler decided they wanted to do this little mini Bulma arc, but then they're like, "Well, she isn't there for the rest of the fight, so we need her to go away again." Mm-hmm. How do we do that?
Team Swift Bulma's breeze. Blasting off again!
Thank you. And that led me to fanfiction premise number 5912. which is, they just keep flying, and then Frog, Ginyu, and Bulma go on a road trip through space together and have wacky adventures.
They develop
they really learn about each other.
Jocko in tights.
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, he wants to destroy her, but he can't because he's a frog. and she's developed a psychological dependency on him because she spent so long in the wilderness of Namek slowly going insane with only a frog to talk to. So she just...
ultimate buddy cop comedy.
Yeah, so she just carts him around through space, doing various odd jobs and getting into weird trouble while he yells at her.
In frog.
Yes.
Frieza cuts a huge swath of the landscape in two.
This is so cool.
With a single beam from his fingertips.
It's really cool.
It's very cool.
Really
good. He cuts
good.
The ocean.
Yeah.
And
it seems like
falling.
The whole planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made a note here. Frieza gouges into the earth, creating some beautiful new waterfalls, increasing Namek's tourism value tenfold.
Mm-hmm. Frieza's going to have to revise that calculation he made a while back that his computer made.
Some landscaping work.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think, like, if he wasn't so quick to judge a planet's value, like, if he considered more of them fixer-uppers than just demolition jobs.
This is something that Zarbon
use his
was
awesome power for architecture.
This is something that Zarbon was working on, but now it will never be fulfilled because of Vegeta's thoughtless violence.
Sadly, mm-hmm.
Frieza's ship doesn't get HDTV, so he doesn't like expand his thinking to that area.
The fight rages on with the typical fare from Frieza, which are kicks, tail chokes, and flirting.
Gosh, so much flirting! Did my computer cut out for a minute and I didn't hear people, but did we comment on Frieza saying, "Please don't think me vain, but are you impressed by my handiwork?"
Yeah,
I did note handiwork, because Frieza's got jokes.
I wrote down, "Please don't think me vain," which you should, because I definitely am.
I didn't write that specific line down, Aaron, but I did think of you when he said it.
Yes, yeah, that's one of the three things I have thoughts on in these three episodes. Is Frieza's continuing crush on Goku and how he's dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. I made a note that Krillin mentions that Frieza splits the planet into two halves. Buddy, yeah. I don't believe you. That's the thing.
I don't think so. I mean, we've established that the characters in this anime can't really count very well. I doubt they can do half.
Not good at fractions.
Fractions Kinkai, is a bridge too far.
Mm-hmm. Kinkai says Frieza hasn't even shown half his strength yet. But Frieza said earlier he was going up to 50%. And so the question is, who's worse at math? And what's harder, half or percent?
They learned it from math from King Kai.
Yeah, I'm always gonna go with I'm always gonna go with King Kai in terms of who's worse at math. So,
I mean, a few days kind of glassed an entire hemisphere thanks to King Kai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, King Kai has given up on our boy.
He's thrown in that towel.
Yeah, he's thrown in the towel very hard.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
At some point during the fight, Goku winds up underwater again.
Mm-hmm.
This time, though, every time he tries to come up for air, Frieza shoots a beam right at his head. It's just very cheeky.
Yeah. This whole sequence underwater, my head just started running the Sonic running out of air.
Oh my god.
Oh no!
You could see a little five bubble next to Goku's head.
Yeah. So this sequence, I had a note on. This was a really interesting sequence for me about Frieza. Because he says... just before kind of kicking Goku to heck, says, "My dear friend, how can I make this even more painful for you? I could crush your hand, rip off both your ears, or maybe I'll just smash in your tiny little cranium." And this, I think, confirms the theory I've had, which is that Zarbon was definitely a fan of The Princess Bride and made Frieza watch it. But Frieza only half watched it, because he clearly does not understand the point of To the Pain.
He starts to hold Goku's head underwater with a single foot.
And, man, if only he could fly.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. If only.
I guess Frieza has enough force to just hold him down.
Yeah.
Goku passes out underwater, and
has
he starts
a weird dream.
Starts having visions of everyone back home on Earth dying at the hands of Frieza.
I titled this section David Lynch's Dragon Ball Z.
Yes!
Incredibly tragic. Choral music starts playing.
Oh, Jesus. Krillin's dead on the planet once again, drawn in the wrong outfit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I like this sequence a lot for different reasons. I noted that Goku imagined Oolong begging for his help, which informed me for the first time that Goku knows who Oolong is, which was something I was not sure about.
They got Dragon Ball roots.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Chi-Chi, Roshi, and Oolong.
Yeah, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that he remembers him at all, Jay.
Great point.
I also noted that in Goku's Ultimate Nightmare, apparently he dreams that the show has run out of animation, so they had to reuse those frames of Gohan like 8 times.
Yeah.
And I also like that even in his worst nightmare, Goku cannot imagine Chi-Chi dying or begging for help. He can only imagine her being mad at him.
Here's my wife laughing in a fire.
It's just Tuesday, as far as Chi-Chi is concerned.
Jesus.
Yeah,
fire
her calling out
with me.
For him, it really doesn't sound like calling for help. It just sounds like her, like, yelling for him to come in to dinner.
You fucked up
again.
From the first episode. Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, at this point, like, it is not often, like, I the number of stories that have been able to do this, which is, like, you know, you... creating suspense and uncertainty in a dramatic story is a very difficult art that even really good writers struggle with, because we know what dramatic stories are like in our culture. Things get bad, but then the good guy wins. And I always take very special note of any story that manages to bring things down so far that I lose sight of that. That I can't figure out, like, how the fuck are they gonna survive this? And Dragon Ball Z has done it. There are a lot of very good stories that I know of that have not managed to create this degree of uncertainty for me. So I gotta give them a lot of props.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we also have a new incarnation of Frieza's, right before all this starts, Frieza's like, I can either kill you fast or painfully slow. If you're not going to answer, I can make the decision for you. And then light, like, lens flare, like, plays across his eyes dramatically. Mm-hmm. And then da 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 da.
It was really.
It's very never strong. Not funny.
Before we,
I have two
Goku
notes on the.
Back up. Oh
yeah, I have two notes on the dream sequence. Mm-hmm. Jason, you pointed out that the first thing he sees is Krillin dead on Namek.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was an interesting choice.
Mm.
That
he's
Krillin would
friend.
Be the first one for him to think of.
Mm-hmm. He's his best buddy.
Like, yeah. Not his son?
Yeah.
Who?
His son's not his best buddy.
By definition, he's his son. Those are two totally different things.
True. Gohan wasn't the best man at my wedding.
That wouldn't make any sense.
Gohan didn't help me deliver milk. It could also be, here's a thought, didn't in Dragon Ball Arrige, didn't mm-hmm. Goku see Krillin, like, bite it before?
He has seen Krillin's dead body before.
So, the idea of my friends dying, I don't know, maybe it calls back that memory?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is my best friend, this has happened before, and this is what it would look like now. You know?
Yeah.
That could be like a quick reaction.
Man, I hate it when my friends die.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
I can't, I'm sorry, I'm still recovering from Gohan didn't help me deliver milk.
My other note is that at some point his dream sequence just turns into the intro for Paranoia Agent, because everybody just starts laughing.
Yeah, oh, jeez, I haven't thought of that in so long.
Jesus. So I have a note here, because this was a freak ass hallucination that I had mm-hmm. to immediately flip over to the Japanese to figure out what got lost or gained in translation.
How'd that work for you?
Well, a little less creepy actually, because instead in Japan, apparently instead it's just Frieza laughing the whole way through. While silent, smiling pictures of the cast flash by, which makes more sense than all of his friends getting their own little laugh track in the English version, which is alarming. How does he know who launches? How does he even remember that?
Yeah, frankly.
I barely remember who launches.
I still don't really know who launches.
I liked seeing her in that lineup and knowing for sure that that image was cut from the TV broadcast.
Yeah.
Because nobody knew who the fuck that was.
Oh. So, I have, like, a couple more thoughts on, like, Frieza's behavior before this nightmare is really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Goku's behavior after the nightmare is really interesting to me. After Frieza says his little to the pain thing, and Goku does a speech about, I'm gonna beat you, you suck.
Mm-hmm.
And Frieza blows it off, but he kind of quits bantering, except for after kicking Goku, he says, like, oh, does baby have a boo-boo? And the next fight is sort of enveloped by these weird sort of caretaking references, and in the middle of the fight, as Frieza's kicking Goku's ass, he says, well, I've really enjoyed prepping you for death. I don't know, it's just really interesting, like, is Frieza thinking himself a psychopomp now? Just ushering people into the death? Because then as he's drowning Goku, he says, don't forget to scrub behind your ears. And it's this weirdly parental caretaking thing. And it's
right.
I don't know, it was just really interesting to me. There was also a very good moment after Goku gets kicked into the ground, starts to get back up, and Frieza slaps him back down. When Goku stands back up, he collapses on Frieza's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And Frieza has this very slight kind of blush, almost. Says, after all the things you said, I thought you hated me.
Uh-huh.
And then proceeds to kick his ass some more.
Frieza's right. Very emotionally compromised right now.
Frieza is a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Does not know how to engage with others. I love that he keeps calling Goku my friend.
Yeah.
My dear friend. Like, this is probably the most time he's spent interacting with one person.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly the most physical contact he's ever received from any other person.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
In the form of punches.
terrible, shitty boy.
Can we appreciate how, like, visibly turned on Ginyu was by watching him beat the shit out of Goku earlier?
Yes.
Like, yeah. There's no
100%.
There's no getting around that.
There was,
well, I think he even
reaction.
Says, "Oh yeah,
yeah,
those moves."
Yeah.
Well, he's just admiring the poses.
Speaking of poses, we skipped over a little bit the little budget cheat before Goku goes underwater.
Yeah,
where he's lying on the ground and his hand kind of slides in the frame.
When I saw that in the GIF, I thought it was like photoshopped. Like, I thought that had been pasted in there.
No,
that's just part of the episode.
It's actually in there.
I watched and my first reaction was, "This is some Adult Swim shit."
Yeah, same here.
Which I say, no shade. I make Adult Swim shit. Mm. But
you're an expert in it.
It definitely felt like it fit into that style of animation, yes, mm-hmm. or lack thereof.
The last thought I have on this episode is about Goku's response to this nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
When he yells that the future of Chi-Chi, Gohan, the entire universe depends on him, mm-hmm. In that order. And mm-hmm. I just thought that it was neat. Like, it shows, or it seems like it, to me, like, it shows that Goku actually does care about people in more than a sort of, I want them around, like pets kind of way. Because he says he doesn't want to let them down.
Right.
And so this was a neat episode because it showed that he was capable of doubting himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And imagining, like, negative futures or other people doubting him.
I mean, this is probably the most development we've gotten for Goku for this entire series, like the Dragon Ball Z part of Dragon Ball, and we're 91 episodes in.
He's been unconscious for most of it.
For all the shit that we give about Goku being, you know, a big dumb idiot who is like a horrifying immoral monster or whatever,
mm-hmm.
his reactions when he actually fights serious fights are actually very sober. Like, when shit gets real with Vegeta, he's not arrogant. For everything else about him, he's somehow not arrogant. And he is authentically freaked. Like, he talks a big game about how fun it is to fight people who are actually on his level. But once mm-hmm. Frieza starts winning, he is, like, he seems authentically flabbergasted. I don't think he actually expected to lose. And, like, there actually is a person under there, and I like that.
Yeah.
It's very, actually very well done, I think.
When things are their most dire, Goku is most himself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I do like those moments.
Yeah.
I know that I am probably the one who gives Goku the most shit, just because I am a Vegeta fanboy, mm-hmm. and that just mm-hmm. comes with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's just my own personal take on it or what, but the fact that these only come up in the moments when he is pushed to the brink, I don't know how much stock to give them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his attitude is all in how his eyes are drawn. there's the cartoony Goku who's very happy, mm-hmm. and then there's lots of lines and hatching angry Goku,
mm-hmm.
who's very serious about everything.
Same with Gohan too, but never with Vegeta.
No, it runs in the Goku family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a San family trait.
It's kind of like one of those situations where somebody becomes god fearing the moment before they die.
Yeah,
as
mm-hmm.
a way to repent.
Uh huh.
And I don't know if that is worth acknowledging
it
necessarily.
It well, it's there with almost anything in this show. It's hard to tell exactly how much. credence
of that is intentional.
To give it, but
there's
a little bit. What it makes me think of is like a little bit of that like that Dragon Age 2 thing where, like, if you exist, or like the villain from Jessica Jones, where, like, if you exist on a kind of a different level than everybody else around you, what does that do to you psychologically? And, like, mm-hmm. that's, I think, what we see in all the villains. You know, everyone else around them, either than the people who are ostensibly on their side, are bugs.
They're dust.
And you can't be a psychologically healthy person in that environment. And considering how powerful Goku is,
He's in a similar situation.
But it is genuinely novel that he seems to authentically like his friends and family as much as he does, even for all his myriad failings in that regard. But that's you can't feel. That's what it makes me think of. Like, you, until you're in this situation, and you feel like a mortal being again.
Yeah.
Instead of an unkillable god, you don't feel like a person, so you don't act like one. And I don't know, it's interesting that the fact that it's consistent is what makes me want to give it a bit more credence.
Sure, I can see that.
Which, otherwise it would just fucking pop up wherever, whenever it occurred to Toriyama. But that honestly isn't the vibe I get.
The last couple notes I have for this episode is after Goku's very big speech. He charges up his biggest Kamehameha ever.
Mm-hmm. And he gives us a big ol' holler.
Very big holler.
He uses all 20 times Kaiokens to make
it's
a very big
Kamehameha.
It's enough
that we actually see it on screen without King Kai having to tell us it happened retroactively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he shoots it right at Frieza, and Frieza's still standing.
He looks genuinely freaked out, though.
Yeah. Frieza couldn't just bicycle kick this one away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did need to put some effort in.
Did Goku say...
And it scuffed up his hand real bad.
Oh, yes. Did Goku say out loud that he was doing a times 20 Kaioken?
He says it in the Japanese version a lot.
Oh, really? Okay. That explains it. Okay.
He's, constantly talking about it.
Because in the next one, Krillin talks about it, and I'm like, wait, how did he know that?
How did you know?
Yeah,
I think I wrote down that the beginning of the next one, when Krillin talks about it, to my memory, was the first time it's mentioned in the dub that that's what he did.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But he was talking about it non-fucking-stop in the Japanese version.
Any other thoughts for 91?
I liked this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good one.
Yeah, I feel like this was like stuff happening before stuff stops happening.
Yeah. We grind to a halt.
This is definitely a fuck-em-up Goku moment.
Yes.
Episode 92, the English title is Trump Card.
The Japanese title roughly translates to A Super Huge Spirit Bomb. I'm playing my last card!
Don't tell them that.
Frieza might be reading these titles.
The narrator manages not to lie for this episode.
Uh-huh.
I love the narrator here so much.
The narrator was very good for this episode.
Yeah. He's going full ham.
Mm-hmm.
The end of it, the narrator says, "Another round between Goku and Frieza begins today." So no false promises about finding out who wins.
Just a nice, vague, nondescript set of things that might happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I love that he gets halfway into giving us an actual play-by-play of the fight in the last episode before he stops himself. I also love that he says that Goku turned into a Saiyan cannonball. When Goku just attacked and did not turn into a human projectile, which is something that he has been known to do.
A thing that he does, yeah.
Yeah.
A quick jab with the left, hook with the right, and Goku threw Frieza against the ropes.
Sunday.
We also said that Frieza is an evil lizard. Is Frieza a lizard?
So many people are calling him a lizard.
I think that Frieza is more of a lizard than Piccolo is.
They're getting closer.
Yeah. Now, what's the bet? Do we figure out what a lizard is or what a Super Saiyan is first? Which one will happen faster?
Well,
I know the answer, so I can't take the bet.
This show?
We've seen dinosaurs.
Well, the dinosaurs. Yeah.
Dinosaurs are not lizards.
Okay.
They're thunder lizards.
We've seen frogs. They're not lizards. Time to watch back through all of Dragon Ball Z up to this point again and look for lizards.
Look for our side podcast, Lizard Watch Dragon Ball Z.
The Destructo Lizard course. Nah, I should have kept that joke in the oven for a few more seconds before I. Moving on.
It's the same exact show as this. We watch 3 episodes every week, except the only thing that we say is yes or no if there's a lizard.
No lizards.
It's a second long podcast.
Not a lizard.
Bulma comes too. And she tries to remember what the fuck has been happening today.
Mm-hmm. She asks, "Where in the world am I?" And I wrote, "Babe, does it even matter?" she gives up on trying to piece together the frog plot and just says, "This is all crazy. I can't just sit here and wait. I've got to grab the bull by the horns and go fight that stupid alien."
Yeah, girl.
God bless her.
I am here for a Bulma taking on Frieza.
Yeah. I would like to watch that.
But she gets distracted by Captain Ginyu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where's the AU where she uses all of her spare bike parts to make a fucking laser gun?
I want Bulma to make a Gundam.
Oh my god.
And kick Frieza's ass.
Yes, please. I'm sure her dad has that technology available.
She just takes apart the rest of Frieza's ship. Incorporates any of the leftover Saiyan DNA goo.
To make a Super Saiyan Gundam?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I've been watching Gundam 00 lately, and frankly, that seems completely plausible.
Instead, she just sees Captain Ginyu Frog nearby and takes him into custody.
He cries really gross froggy tears.
Pendulous frog tears.
It's like mucus.
I think. Yeah, they're very gooey.
It's not good.
Goku lost all the confidence he had at the end of last episode.
Yeah, like
Frieza survived his attack.
People, Vegeta is the king of this, but people flip-flop on how much confidence they have in the situation very fast and constantly in this show.
Yeah. I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weirdly believable.
Yeah, it kind of is, frankly.
Mm-hmm. It's very relatable.
Mm. Like, they muster up all this shit, they write a speech in their heads, and then recite it real quick.
And then, oh shit, none of it fucking matters.
And then
none of it matters.
They shoot their beam, and it does nothing, and they're like, I did all of that.
But
my
guess
beam.
Frieza wasn't lying about his power.
Well, this is why...
He is the strongest fighter.
This is why you fucking... You roll first. Then you narrate the awesome thing that you did.
Right.
I tell everyone this.
Somebody's just gotta get Goku to go play some role-playing games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh god, that's actually terrible.
Who's the GM, though? It's Oolong.
Oh no.
No, it's Puar.
Okay. I was gonna say Gohan. I think Gohan would enjoy that.
Gohan's the only one who would read the fucking rule book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now we have to stop this train of thought right now. Before I spend the rest of the podcast devoting serious, unironic thought to it.
This is an intro for another episode.
Yeah, I will do a bonus episode about what DBZ characters would be like playing elf games, and I'm not really kidding about that either.
We'll get back to that. Frieza is really beating the shit out of Goku again.
Mm-hmm.
And Goku spits up some water onto Frieza's face.
I guess.
Gross.
Yeah, Aaron, I was thinking about Frieza's rudeness meter in this situation that you brought up last time. Because previously we've seen him just licking blood off of his face. But he gets a little spit on his face and he takes great offense to it.
He does.
I wonder if this is all adding up to a picture of what culture Frieza comes from. Like, if you're married to someone, do you just fight each other all the time? You just beat the shit out of each other?
What's the name for the Homestuck romance?
Oh,
that
Black
is
Romance.
Spades?
Spades, yes. That's a second bonus podcast episode. I noticed something that I thought was funny here, which is like Frieza is kind of reflecting on the fact that he has actually had to work for this one, and that Goku has kind of dinged him up, and he's like looking at his own hands and how like actually legitimately scarred and scuffed up they are. And,
look at all these hash marks
on them. Yeah, the hash marks are overlapped so much that I thought, this looks exactly like a weapon from Warhammer Vermintide. Where it has a button that you press to hold your weapon up in front of the camera so that you can appreciate the hundreds of hours that some 3D modeler spent carving individual notches into the surface of your axe. And that's what Frieza's hands looked like here, but in hash mark form.
In the, if we're getting to that, in the Japanese version, I feel like more so than the English version, Frieza is lamenting how much Goku's attack actually hurt.
It really stings.
Yeah.
Pain hurts. Sucks.
Pain hurts.
Man.
The more you know.
Ain't that just the way?
Mm-hmm.
The mere fact that he has had to break a sweat at all during this fight is just enough to ruin his entire day.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. At least he hasn't broken any of his nails.
Oh, right. God, help Goku if that were to happen. Mm.
King Kai is throwing in the towel, and he's about ready to call time of death for the universe.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
I love how Piccolo reminisces about how King Kai was... He says that King Kai was right after all.
We shouldn't have fought this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we fucked up.
And then I think as soon as next episode, he's back to, don't worry, guys, I can tell Goku has an ace up his sleeve.
That's because Goku experiences something wonderful.
Yeah, while he's being beaten to death, he has another little dream sequence. He's getting very, very woozy the past couple episodes. He keeps conking out.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I feel like this one's different from the last one.
Well, he begins to commune with a very dead and very nude Vegeta.
It's Vegeta!
Who has his tail.
He does.
Yeah, that is weird, actually.
So this is the last thing that I have, like, a lot of notes on, is this whole sequence.
Take it away.
Well, I'm in the camp that Goku has cool psychic powers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which we've discussed.
I was wondering if talking to the dead was one of those, and he just thought that was a thing other people could do.
I don't know where Vegeta is, because it's not Otherworld.
No.
He might.
You get to keep your clothes there.
He might still be checking in somewhere.
Yeah.
But like, this is almost like, not a Force ghost, but like, Goku's in his psychic mind space and somehow connects that with Vegeta's psychic mind space. My idea of why Vegeta is without his gloves and every other bit of clothing.
Yeah, without his full glove.
And like, this might be totally proved wrong later on because I haven't watched the rest of the series, but I know Vegeta comes back and joins the good guys eventually. Sorry, spoilers. I'm thinking Vegeta's kind of going through like a reevaluation of who he is and whose side he's on. Because we, throughout the course of this little, it's not a nightmare, conversation.
Vision.
Throughout the course of the conversation, we see baby Vegeta in his little prince uniform.
Yeah.
And we see big monkey Vegeta in the Frieza Force uniform. We know that he's kind of rejected being on the Frieza Force, but he also has stated that he hates his dad, so he's not really identifying with being the prince of all Saiyans as much. So he's having trouble imagining who he is. That's my interpretation of Naked Frieza.
Frieza's always naked.
Naked Vegeta is he's trying to reimagine who he is.
He's having a dead existential crisis.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And a lot of this conversation, I feel like, is very much him projecting onto Kakarot.
Oh, for sure.
Like, he even kind of gets explicit with that when he tells him to remember his father.
Yeah, I'll say he gets explicit.
And it's my father. Mm-hmm. No, I mean...
Sorry. I had to.
Yeah, it would have been fine if he was nude but wearing gloves. I would have been more okay with that one.
I had a note here that says, I would ask why Goku imagines Vegeta completely nude in this mindscape, but...
Well, Goku seems very surprised.
I mean, I get it.
He turns around, because at first it's just Vegeta's voice, and mm-hmm. then there's a cool camera turn, and then we're in the psychic mindscape, and there's, according to my notes, hella naked Vegeta. But Goku's face is just, why are you naked in my psychic mindscape?
I was doing something.
What are you doing here?
Goku's having a really great crisis of identity here because, you know, Frieza keeps berating him. It's like, you sniveling Saiyan, worthless Saiyan, low class. And he's like, I was never a Saiyan. And
yeah,
he's definitely done that weird, like, denial of heritage before to, like, King Kai. He's like, no, I don't identify with Saiyan. I'm not one of those Saiyans. But at the same time, this whole fever dream is to remind him that he, in fact, is a Saiyan. He's got the mm-hmm. proud Saiyan bloodline going through your veins.
And he sees King Vegeta and Bardock.
Yeah.
I can't lie to you, this part is really weird to me. It's like, yes, Goku, develop a sense of nationalism and use it to defeat Frieza. Like, but...
It's weird, because he, you know, everything he's learned about Saiyans, he's learned in, like, the past year, mm-hmm. maybe? He was never a Saiyan. He's in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
You usually figure out who you are before then, long before. And now it's like, oh, actually, I've got a fucking space heritage. Well, let me go on some heritage tourism. Just kidding, I can't. Home planet blew up. Shit. Also, I made a note here that I would really love to see some King Vegeta / Bardock / because why not?
Oh. Forbidden romance between the low level and the king.
Yes. Are you kidding?
It's like a sexy Prince and the Pauper.
I know how this shit works.
I really love psychic stuff that messes with time.
Mm-hmm.
It's my shit. Mm-hmm. And like, neither Vegeta nor Goku knows who Bardock is, really.
They would have no reason to.
Yeah.
But we see Bardock's dying moments. And we see King Vegeta's dying moments.
Mm-hmm. Again.
And, you know, from the Bardock special, there's really no reason why Goku would get psychic powers. But I love the idea that, I mean, since these are psychic powers that let you see different things in time, why wouldn't they just travel backwards in time to go also be a Goku? I don't know.
Why not?
So it makes sense that...
I'm here for it.
It doesn't make sense, but I like that Goku sees Bardock a little bit and sort of has this idea that he has family and friends that... There is family that he does not have access to because of Frieza.
Right. Yeah. Well, and also, like, I think that, I mean, considering how fast he warmed up to Vegeta, I think that if he had known the Saiyans, he would probably get along with them, or if not get along with them, then at least respect them. And, like, yeah, you know, the idea that, hey, yeah, if you were to take out Frieza, that is writing a great injustice, even if it's not one that you're personally responsible for. Like, you're personally familiar with, I mean. Like, you can be assured that it would be a good thing if you accomplished that.
Still absent Raditz, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, Raditz who? I like how,
Ratatouille.
I didn't get to mention it because
Pixar's Ratatouille.
I didn't get to mention it before because I wasn't on that episode. But when Frieza is mentioning that he thought he killed all the Saiyans except four, I was genuinely shocked to hear him mention Raditz.
He did mention Raditz.
I was amazed that he knew who he was.
I do also think that being a dad now, more or less, of Gohan
In the loosest definition.
He has some fatherly feelings that he doesn't really put into action very well. I don't know, maybe that opens him up psychically to connect with his father at least a little bit.
Oh, I like that.
That or, like, being exposed to all of Vegeta's feelings about his dad.
Frieza interrupts Goku's daydream by attacking him with a flying kick, and while he does this kick, he transforms into several different paintings over a commercial break.
That did happen. Yeah.
Like, he becomes a painting before the commercial break, and then after it, he resumes the kick, but he misses, and then for, like, maybe 10 frames, he's a different painting. It's really weird.
Oh, I have one last thought. Then I'm all done thinking. Then
like
I'll
Goku.
Be one with Goku. At this point, Vegeta is the only person who believes in Goku. Goku
the dead
doesn't
man.
Believe in Goku.
True.
King Kai doesn't believe in Goku.
Yeah.
The three fuckers on the hill doesn't believe in Goku. Not even Bulma believes in Goku. But Vegeta and King Vegeta and Bardock inspire Goku to believe in himself, and then that inspires the Peanut Gallery to believe in him. Vegeta turns the tide.
I do wonder if that's just because he doesn't want to be wrong about Super Saiyans.
That is definitely part
you
of it.
You go to war with the army you've got.
Kakarot, you need to win because I need to be right about you being a Super Saiyan. Back over on King Kai's planet, there's something weird going on with Bubbles and Gregory.
Oh no,
poor Gregory.
They stumble out of King Kai's place and they look all roughed up and dizzy.
When I saw Bubbles for half a second, I was like, yeah, Bubbles is going to save the day, my man.
Yeah, Bubbles has got it.
Send Bubbles down.
All right.
Gosh.
Fucking
Everyone
Halo
was so
jump.
Busy staring into the middle distance that they completely missed these mysterious figures sneaking into King Kai's house.
Yeah, I have no idea how this could possibly happen.
Yeah. How the fuck?
You know what? Yeah. I don't care.
Good point.
I do not believe in these mysterious figures' ability to sneak.
No.
Mm-hmm. Who could those mysterious figures be? Do we actually find out this episode or the next one?
We do.
We find out this episode.
Yeah, it's pretty
good.
Cool.
They have recognizable voices, and also they pose several times.
Mm-hmm. Right. They are shadowy figures currently raiding a fridge, but based on their, like, silhouettes and voices, we know absolutely who the fuck it is. It's the Ginyu Force.
Yes.
Welcome back, Milk Boys.
The gang looks on in horror as they pose, huddle to discuss their pose, and then pose again.
Yeah, they try a few different four-man poses, but aren't really satisfied by any of them.
I don't know what Jace is going for in this one. in particular.
Jace, you know, I think Jace was really scrounging into that fridge looking for some Marmite, and he did not find any, so his pose game is a little off.
Yeah.
He's just still hungry.
As they turn to face the Z-Warriors, Yamcha starts to sweat profusely as he senses another member of the Yamcha Continuum.
No shit.
This one's more powerful than me.
They've never been this close in proximity before.
What if he kills me and becomes the new Yamcha?
Is there... So, okay, let's straighten this out for me.
Please.
Where Kinkai is that heaven?
Yes.
It is on the same plane as heaven, as I understand.
It is otherworld.
Heaven's not super picky here, huh?
I guess not. Or they just muscled their way past the check-in station.
Right. Well, Gordy was asking me when we were watching this, and that was my assumption, is that we saw how long that line was. They just pushed through.
Mm-hmm. And we know that Raditz went here.
How did they know to go to King Kai's place?
They just followed the snake.
They followed the smell of the food.
Yeah. Like, Goku needed somebody to drive him to the start of the Snake Way.
Yeah, but Goku.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
Fair.
Point.
Yeah, Birder's got some brains on him.
Sure.
It's the only one.
I was going to say, there really is only one member of the Ginyu Force who you would consider to be the brains of the operation, and Homeboy is still on Planet Namek as a frog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are really the Rangers without Red. It's bad.
Try so hard.
Back over on Planet Namek, Goku has his hands up in the air. He has resolved himself to continue the fight after he got that Nakey pep talk. And he's
best kind of pep talk.
He's kicking off a spirit bomb.
A Genki Dama?
A Genki Dama.
But where's he gonna get all the Genki? There's not a lot on this Dama. Wait.
There's no Genki in this Dama.
I ordered my Dama with extra Genki!
Waiter, there's a fly in my Dama.
What is happening?
That's what Piccolo says.
Yeah.
Right.
Even Goku realizes that Planet Namek doesn't have a lot of life left on it.
Yeah. He's like, not a lot of juice in this caboose, my dude. Mm-hmm.
So he starts reaching out to nearby planets and stars.
I was about to say,
or stars.
Yeah, or stars.
Depending
Interchangeable.
On
totally ignore the fact that Namek has three suns to draw from.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're borrowing a cup of sugar from nearby planets.
We've learned that taking from stars is dangerous business, so he just decides to take it from the weird ball sack monsters on nearby planets.
These were so cute. I love these like, No Man's Sky-ass planetary weirdos.
Yeah, they are very procedurally generated monsters.
Goku casts his mind out to all the... leftover planets from Spore that nobody ever from games that people abandoned.
Oh,
no one's ever seen the looks of you since, you know, maybe 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that one stint in 2015 when the McElroys talked about you.
Yeah,
that I do enjoy. I assume this is what you're getting to next. Piccolo has no idea what the hell's going on.
But his faith in Goku is instantly restored, I guess.
And Krillin starts explaining to him what a spirit bomb is. This was my favorite thing that the Japanese version did. Piccolo's reaction to finding out about the spirit bomb was to be upset that King Kai did not teach him the spirit bomb.
That is very fair.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
That is more on brand, I think.
Yeah.
The only other note that I have for this episode is that it starts to take shape in the sky.
Mm-hmm. It does.
My last note for this episode is that Frieza is not impressed by Goku's waterbending.
Mm. Yeah, my last note is that the water starts to rise from the crack in front of Goku, and I was just like, this is it! This is what Tien was practicing for! Trying to lift those waterfalls!
Don't go lifting waterfalls.
Love that Frieza just lets Goku stand there forever. Is he finally flirting back? Is this how Saiyans flirt? Is this...
They raise their hands to the sky like a pom-pom crab.
Is this... They do water... I'm not very impressed, but I'm willing to wait.
He's presenting, I see.
Sorry, I didn't want to let this slip by. Don't go lifting waterfalls. Please stick to the Genkis and the Damas that you're used to.
Oh, we can't keep doing this podcast. Like, that's it. That's the peak.
Whoa.
That's it. We're done. We don't even need to do episode 93.
Wow. It ends here. Weird. No more episodes after this. What Cell Saga?
Any other thoughts for 92?
Gohan and Piccolo were in the same exact pose at one point.
Yeah?
That's all. It was cute.
Gohan's just mimicking?
Yeah. It was right after the Ginyu, we cut back from the Ginyu Force.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
But Krillin wasn't matching.
Well, Krillin's not imprinting like Gohan is.
Episode 93, the English title is Keep the Chance Alive.
The Japanese title is Utter Horse Crap, because it translates roughly to Keep the Chance Alive, Piccolo's Suicide Support Strike. What?
Okay.
I don't remember this.
Jumped the gun a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Even for Japanese title standards.
I love Frieza's impatient frown and that he's completely ignoring all the sparkles around Goku and the new sun.
Yes. This is,
instead, he just asks, is he taking a break?
Well, he thinks that it's in his mind. He thinks that he's starting to perceive Goku as sparkling. Because that's how handsome he thinks he is.
Is that Twilight Vampire?
Yeah, exactly.
I've read books about this.
Yeah, Frieza like Twilight?
Yeah, but he like hides them under his chair so nobody else can see.
Yeah,
no one can know. Zarbon knows. Mm-hmm.
I had a question here. Perhaps me not fully understanding... The spirit bomb in sucking up all the sparkle powers from everything. He's sucking it up from the dead people. I'm not a scholar in Japanese.
I'm not a scientist,
to my understanding, dead is kind of the opposite of Genki.
Yeah, I called that out as well. He appears to be sucking the life, what little remaining life force there is, I guess, from Dende and Guru's corpses.
Yeah,
well,
can we
also...
Well,
see a lot of bugs around Guru, so, like, maybe they're decomposing.
Krillin
says you can take stuff from microorganisms, and...
Yeah, they're... Ooh,
there's a lot of those in a dead body.
Yeah, that's getting somewhere dark. Oh,
this absolutely does reinforce, though, that Dende, no burial, Vegeta, burial.
Yep. Oh. Also, from what functioning ecosystem are these bugs and sea life suddenly chilling around Namek to draw life from? But then again, this is like the 17th time that we've seen total evidence of a functioning ecosystem, despite being told there's a whole ecological disaster. Life can't support itself on this planet.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Unless Bulma needs to run into some fun dinos.
Yeah, unless Bulma's bored, in which case we can invent some animals.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of Bulma...
Bulma being bored?
Yes, specifically. Speaking of Bulma being bored, she's interrogating a frog.
How strong do you think Goku really is?
She's like full on. This is some... Law and Order shit that she's got going on.
She just needs a lamp and a table.
And iced tea.
Captain Ginyu just turns away.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing.
For the last time, no comment. Ribbit.
Ribbit, I plead the fifth.
She recalls some fun past moments of Goku. Both of Dragon Ball things. And Dragon Ball Z.
By fun past moments, she refers to parts that she just was not there for.
She heard about him.
She heard
did
about
fights
him in great detail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stunning visual clarity.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Take five animators.
Yeah.
Poor guys.
Smoke break.
Dipping into that Disney vault for you.
Frieza is very patiently waiting for Goku as he charges up the bomb, and he never looks up to see the energy ball.
Why would he look up?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not where Goku is.
They agreed to have a ground fight.
I forget who says it, but one of the Z Warriors points out that, like, oh, he can't sense it. That's why he's not looking up. But, like, even look at what Goku's fucking pointing at with his two arms.
He does have two functioning eyes.
It reminds me of how that one guy describes units that have a ranged attack but can't target air units in RTS. That says they can't shoot up. They don't have the power to shoot up.
Yeah.
They don't have those vertebrae.
No, that's Frieza's problem here.
That's how my dog is. Mm-hmm. When the ball goes up, it disappears.
It's gone.
I feel like the Emperor of the Universe should have maybe higher standards than that to his perceptiveness.
Yeah. I mean,
higher standards requires up.
I can't argue with that. Good point and well made.
Back over on King Kai's planet, the Ginyu Force still continues to try to concoct a fighting pose that they can do without Ginyu.
Mm, it's not really working.
They're getting
hard working boys.
They're getting a little better.
They're getting close.
A little.
They think they're doing great.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They do. It's adorable, frankly, to watch.
I'm into everything Jace is doing.
Jace is, in the particular, I think, has gotten himself together a little bit. Aside from that bizarre, like, inverse warrior pose crab walk he was doing in the previous episode.
They decide that they're going to conquer King Kai's planet as their new fighting headquarters. I don't know if they know they're dead.
I don't think they do at all.
That's a great point.
I didn't really envision them going through the check-in station. I thought they just manifested here for some reason. That was the impression that I got.
Vegeta just blasted us into a different planet dimension.
Yeah, this
that's
is,
all.
This is the next dimension.
Everyone just wears halos. Do they know what halos are? Probably not.
Yeah, speaking of looking up, maybe they just haven't noticed.
Raccoon says that they should try to test out their abilities because they're on a new planet, and the captain said you gotta make sure the atmosphere doesn't fuck with your laser beams and stuff.
That's smart.
Don't worry about that 10 times gravity, though.
They just start blowing up King Kai's stuff. Raccoon uses his breath blast attack.
Does he?
Formerly known as an eraser gun.
Yeah.
It has a different name now.
I was offended at this.
It was subtitled properly. Japanese.
I was so hoping that because the planet was so tiny, this would go all the way around it and hit him in the back. They missed that opportunity so hard.
Because we've seen that you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goku's done it to himself. Mm-hmm. Frieza is tired of waiting around, so he starts beating on Goku again, but Goku just keeps holding his arms up. Piccolo wants to try and sort of jumpstart the spirit bomb quicker than it's coming along.
Juice up that Dama.
Yeah.
With some Genki.
Blitz his chakras.
He starts tapping power out of Gohan and Krillin.
Which I guess he can do.
I guess.
I guess that's a thing.
I love this turning Nail into
taught
a
him.
Magical girl anime, holding hands to support our friend.
The power of love.
We get two close-ups of hands grasping Piccolo's hands. I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but we got a little more lazy animation.
Uh-oh.
Because it's literally just flipped. They just use Gohan's hand twice and flip it.
God, I didn't even notice that. I
didn't notice.
Shit, that's really good.
God.
They got me. You con.
Tricksters.
That owns.
Frieza finally sees the reflection of the spirit bomb in the lake below.
That's not the
and
sun.
He realizes, oh, that's what you've been doing this whole time.
This almost reminds me of Swan Lake a little bit.
I love how all in the animators and stuff go on this revelation. Like Frieza is like, holy shit, you've bamboozled me. The ultimate deception.
I thought you wanted a hug.
Yeah, this is the start of a span of episodes where we get a lot of really good Frieza emotes, I think.
Freeze-moji, as you might say.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah. The big ol' puss factor, as Dave would put it.
He prepares to shoot Goku point blank in the face, but Piccolo intervenes. Because that's Piccolo's whole thing.
Fuck him up.
He intervenes with a fucking Rider kick.
Fuck him up, Piccolo.
Fuck him up, Piccolo.
He steps in to fight for Goku to buy him some time to finish up the bomb.
But I guess that one kick was all his energy?
Yeah, that one kick used up all of his energy, and I guess maybe the stuff that he just took from Gohan and Krillin.
Which he was supposed to put into the spirit bomb.
Yeah, I'm a little confused as to where that was. Like, those...
Is that what
those,
he meant?
That energy went through, like Kickstarter funds to a really shady organization. Like, where did that energy go, bud?
That was for posters! the only other note that I have for this episode, kind of light on this one, King Kai wants his students to take care of the Ginyu Force.
Yeah, that's weird.
to kill them?
Yeah, like, again? What's the threat level here? Because they're all dead. That's all happened.
Yeah.
Can you get double dead? Is this a homestuck?
I don't know.
Maybe just kick them off the planet away from its gravity so that then they fall down into hell?
That'd be crazy.
That'd be really crazy.
Of all the things that have happened, that would be crazy.
You're not wrong.
I guess we'll have to wait till next week to find out what happens with the Ginyu Force.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know.
Any other closing thoughts for 93?
I like that when King Kai tells them to sick him, we see Yamcha's face, he looks freaked out. We see Chiaotzu's face, he's trying to hide behind Tien. And then we see Tien's face, and it's just Tien face.
Yeah. It's time for a spot of Hail Satan, then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Check in on our extended cast and crew.
They're all waking up after a heavy Halloween candy hangover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Check in on the rest of the Yamcha
enjoy... They got to enjoy a little Halloween reprieve last week. Where everything went according to plan and they just all had a nice trick-or-treating time.
Mm-hmm.
How many rolls of toilet paper were emptied over the trees in Mr. Satan's front yard?
I will say all of them. Yeah, we never really got into that. Were there pranks? Were there japes that occurred on a night of mischiefs that is Halloween?
Oh, of course there were. There always are. I did want to mention last time, but I didn't get the chance to, because I don't know if it'll play in the podcast or not, but my connection was really bad.
Oh.
Always a good time.
But I wanted to mention last time, upon returning home after trick-or-treating, Hercule, Beelzebub, Barbara, and Videl would catch some of these tricks in action, red-handed.
Oh my god.
There's a couple of rowdy teens that are egging Mr. Satan's house.
Oh, how dare they?
Rowdy teens, you say?
I don't know any rowdy teens.
Two twin teens, a boy and a girl, one with straight black hair and one with straight blonde hair.
Hmm.
This sounds significant.
Would their names perhaps be related? Would be revealed at a later arc?
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. We do know their real names.
What are their real names again?
Lapis and Lazuli.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
Oh, like Steven Universe.
Yeah. Oh, those are very good names.
That is a very hipster name, isn't it?
I forget who is who, honestly.
Doesn't matter.
Yes.
That does feel like a very, like, we're naming our kid Charity. Like, we're naming our kid Lazuli. We get it. You shop at a farmer's market.
Yeah.
You don't need to prove anything to us.
Mm-hmm.
Lapis is the boy and Lazuli is the girl. I just did a quick double check.
I would have guessed the opposite.
So they are caught red-handed, and Videl wants to turn them into the cops, because she's a narc.
She is. She's lawful good.
Obviously.
She's lawful narc.
I mean, she...
implying the existence
of... She is a detective. This is what they
implying
do.
Implying the existence of chaotic narc, which I feel is a bit of an oxymoron.
Just that's just the town gossip, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
I assume that they go to, like, a nearby high school, like... Orange Star High School or something like that.
That is a confirmed high school, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it named after the Dragon Balls?
I think the town, like, in Toriyama's mind, that's where it came from. I don't know why, like, in-universe it's called that.
Yeah.
But the city is called Orange Star City until it's renamed to Satan City.
Yes.
because of Hercule.
What a bright future we have ahead of us.
Wait, did that, I'm crossing the streams. Did that happen in, like, canon or in, like, our canon?
Which event?
The renaming to Satan City.
Oh, it becomes Satan City. You'll see the billboards.
Oh, okay. My god.
Cool. It's in the show.
Oh, my god.
Cool. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
I think the high school maintains its name, though.
They can only put up with so much.
You think that was an act of rowdy teens? We don't want to be named after this. I don't know, what's a thing that teens would call
Mr. Satan. This overgrown rowdy teen.
This poser.
Yeah.
This you're suggesting that the name change is already in the works?
Maybe.
Like it's being voted on by the city?
By the student council.
Mr. Satan has, if anything, he is up to date with his local politics. He attends every city council meeting trying to get the town named after him.
Yes.
He has the design for the billboards already, just as like proof of concept.
Just mock-ups.
Am I getting ahead of myself? Because is he officially Mr. Satan, or is he still Hercule?
I don't know. It's hard to tell, kind of.
I forget what makes it so that he becomes Mr. Satan. I've lost track of the actual plot. I've lost my way, Tyler.
I can't help
you. You've lost track of the actual plot of our fan fiction plot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
you're
that's
lost
what
in the
I
show think, in the show.
That's what happens.
Yeah. I think the assumption would be he gets that name when he takes over the dojo from his mentor, which has not happened yet.
Right.
Is the mentor's name Vince McSatan?
Yes.
Got it.
So
he might already be calling himself Mr. Satan in regards to the dojo.
Mm-hmm.
Just
like you might be the head, but I'm the heart.
Yeah. I think Hercule would take a shine to these two kids and their spunky nature. He sees a lot of himself in them.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids do you think
tried to stick it to the man, but yokes on them.
Clearly, they are troubled.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he would do some kind of like Big Brother Big Sister program with them, or would he volunteer at their school?
Big Brother Big Satan.
Only if he...
It's the...
He would...
His charitable organization that he starts
he
up.
He would volunteer at their school, but not Videl's school.
It's just called Big Puncher, Big Kicker. And he just teaches everyone how to fight. It's very, like, Power Rangers After School Special, where you work through your feelings with the power of martial arts and friendship.
Well, that's a real thing, isn't it?
Probably. I think so.
I feel like I've heard of that. Like, they do offer martial arts lessons as a way to sort of like channel your rage and energy into something productive. Mm-hmm.
I think that is a real thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Maybe Mr. Satan is jealous of the mentor kind of relationship Videl has with Officer Hoverhound.
Mm.
And so is trying to prove that
he wants to cultivate that
passive aggressively.
Yeah, so wants to show, look, see, we don't have to put these teens in jail with the Hoverhound.
Oh, it's part of the just... it's part of the Satan Dojo's community outreach program.
Mm-hmm. Look, Videl, you can turn troubled teens into me instead.
And Videl looks at this with the look of someone who is weighing her options.
So he's trying to start, or he's trying to appear as a stronger father figure to her than a dog in a cop uniform.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that. Does she join the lessons? Like, does he just start doing youth karate lessons?
Is this where Videl starts to learn to fight?
Well, she started learning by just watching Krillin's.
Well, yeah, now she's actually being taught by someone.
Right.
Just completely out of spite.
Yeah, like it took this long for her father, who is the champion of the world, to teach his daughter, who is interested in martial arts, to fight.
They finally found something that they can connect on, even if it's out of spite.
And it took them this long.
She comes to watch and keep an eye and make sure the rowdy teens aren't a bad influence on her father.
Right.
Weirdly enough, it's spite on both ends, just different kinds of spite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I am satisfied with the Hercule content this week.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else that you guys wanted to check in with?
This doesn't have to be a big check-in. This can just be like a quick number. How's Princess Snake doing on gathering the Dragon Balls?
She found one.
Yeah, she found one and thought that was good enough.
And it wasn't.
Does she, figure that out, figure out that there's more?
The spell that she was using to be on Earth only lasts for a day.
Oh, I thought it was a week.
No, in the show, it's a real spell that they use later on.
Oh.
And have used in the past, I think.
Yeah.
That other world spirit can join the mortal world, but it lasts for a day.
Oh, well then, yeah, she's back on Otherworld.
It was a short-lived dream.
Uh-huh. Her being in the real world is how I figured the Ginyu Force got to King Kai's planet, because otherwise they absolutely would have gotten sucked in her trap.
Aaron, I have something that I want to float by you in regards to Princess Snake. There's a game, I think it was only in Japan, it's one of those Dragon Ball Z card game RPGs,
mm-hmm.
like a hybrid thing. I think it was on the DS or something. But it ventures into fan fiction territory, and one of the premises is that Raditz finds his way to Princess Snake.
Oh, God.
And they enter into a relationship.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I like this
yes.
a lot.
And yes. I didn't know if that would be interesting to you or not.
Yes, of course.
That's life-changing.
That's, yeah.
Do you have any thoughts?
Well,
anyone?
Maybe some of the magic of Princess Snake causes people to forget about the people she eats. And that's why nobody remembers Raditz. Or maybe she doesn't have to totally eat. Well, I mean, the house is her giant snake. Does Raditz get in a relationship with the lady inside the house, or does he get in a relationship with the giant snake?
That is for us to decide at this point.
Maybe, because I'm interested both. I'd be happy either way with Raditz just getting totally taken for a schmuck and eaten, becoming mm-hmm. snake food, or like kind of a woman who married the bear kind of thing, like riding this snake in Otherworld, going on adventures.
I mean, yeah, we don't know. Maybe it unlocks something in him that he did not know was there. Some deep-seated interest in castles and snakes.
Can we suggest that Raditz first encounters the snake and thinks, aha, this must be the dragon that will grant my wishes.
Yes.
And then
I found it.
And then Princess Snake convinces him to stick around long enough to seduce him by telling him that she knows the giant snake dragon, and she'll totally get in touch with him. He'll write me back any day now. Gonna happen.
I'm actually in the middle of collecting the Dragon
God,
Balls.
God, does she, like, know Shenron on a personal basis, but not put together that the Dragon Balls are his deal?
Does Shenron exist in Otherworld when he's not summoned to Earth?
Where does he live?
I mean, I like the idea of, well, he lives in the intro.
Karunga had something he wanted to get back to, it seemed like.
Yeah, he had stuff to do.
I like the idea of this big green, like, serpent climbing through the clouds, and then you just see this blue serpent off to the side that just says, hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Shenron.
His expression looks exactly like the Killer 7 dragon.
Who's that, who's that long drink of water?
Looking on the Dragon Ball Wikia, Shenron is said to live in the fiery center of the Earth.
Oh.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
So if Piranga lives in the center of Namek... Hmm.
I guess.
Hmm.
Okay.
I refuse to accept this as canon because we did have that very good visual of Piranga and Guru holding hands in Otherworld together.
Yeah, I'm refusing to let that go.
A boy and his dragon.
I refuse to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to do it this week?
I think so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It leaves us some doors to open in the future.
Exactly.
We've come mm-hmm. so far and have. So
we haven't even touched
to
on Frieza's mom yet.
Oh boy.
What?
Well, Frieza's mom's got it going on.
She's all that I want.
I hate
that I've waited for so long.
I hate your whole life, Jay.
David, can't you see?
Jason,
Yeah.
I feel like you've made Dave very sad.
I need to lift up his spirits.
It's now your responsibility to fix this situation.
I'll do my best, David. Can I make it up to you with a 4-star reading?
Please do.
I'll do my best, bud. So as you may know, various characters in Dragon Ball Z have canonical birthdays, and thus have canonical astrological signs. So at the end of each episode, we like to flip over to the horoscope section and read off a little fortune for one of our protagonists. Now, the Fool that we're going to be looking at today does not have a canonical birthday, but we can reverse engineer one based on the debut of their manga. So, the subject of today's reading will be King Kai, whose manga debuted on January 18th, which would make him an Aquarius. I think our first and only one.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. Hmm.
It just kind of rung as a it rang true. He didn't get a lot of screen time in these few chunks, but I think the time he did have was pretty vital.
King Kai is really the only character you can lump in with me.
Hey, King Kai's great.
I'm stuck with King Kai,
man.
As far as we've uncovered, yeah, King Kai.
I'll hold out hope.
There's not a. We'll see what else may be released around January in the future. Alright, so, King Kai, here is your reading. When you're around these negative and flippant people, you might inadvertently pick up that energy. Be careful about your associates, because you'll find that others can judge you based on the company you keep, especially if you start talking or acting like them. Make sure to maintain a respectful attitude and proper manners no matter who you hang out with or who's on your planet.
Yeah, that seems like good advice.
Because we will judge you, King Kai.
Well,
very
well,
timely.
No, because you don't want to end up like these people.
Thank you all for listening again. I appreciate everyone who tunes in every week. Jason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where can folks find you and your content around the internet?
My content can be found on Twitter, usually, and Tumblr, less usually. But the name for both is JayCalves, that's JayCalves.
And Melissa, how about you?
I am around various places under Kristaia, KRISTAIA.
Aaron?
Hey, I don't do much of anything on the internet. But if you happen to find yourself in the Southwest Ohio area, you can come to Dayton, Ohio, to the Black Box Improv Theater. I am in a group that performs on Wednesday nights, but the theater has shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
And Dave?
As ever, I can be found at Scythe, PSYTHE, on Archive of Our Own.
If you'd like to contact this show directly, you can do so at Twitter, and our handle there is @destructo_disc, D-I-S-C, where you can also see some illustrated versions of our episodes of Hail Satan. You can also email the show at destructodiscourse@gmail.com, or you can join our fan-oriented Discord, the invite to which is permanently pinned to the top of our Twitter, so go there to check that out.
And what is the name of that Discord?
The Destructo Discourse Discourse Discord, and it is home to just a
so
lot of really good Photoshops.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh my gosh.
Very strong Photoshops.
Really good content.
If you'd like to help other people find out about the show, you could give us a rating and review over on iTunes, Apple Podcasts.
How many stars?
Anywhere. I would prefer 4. I don't know about you guys. 4 is one of my favorites.
4 is good. I'm a 4-star guy myself.
Yeah.
It's less filling and tastes great.
4 is designated as the Gohan ball. And I want you to give us the Gohan.
I like that guy.
Mm-hmm. He's a good boy.
Give us the Gohan.
He's
we demand
good.
That Gohan.
Thank you all for listening. This has been Destructo Discourse. We'll see you next week, and we're only getting warmed up.
When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, he'll fly away. Inshallah, inshallah, no.
get you through the night. Oh, cha-la, hey, cha-la, no time to